Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
Over the past several weeks on the 49ers Insider Podcast, in the mailbag portion, I've received several inquiries about training camp battles and how the roster could be shaping up, as the 49ers right now have their offseason roster limit at 90. Of course, 53 players open the regular season. Training camp getting ready to open as players report on July 25th. The first practice set for July 26th. And on this edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast, we will go through position by position look at the roster battles and how things shape up. So first off, of course, should be a pretty short discussion. We'll talk about the quarterbacks. I would assume that the 49ers would keep two quarterbacks as they did last year. And you could pretty much write it in stone that the 49ers will go with Jimmy Garoppolo. No big surprise there. 5-year, $137.5 million contract in the offseason for Garoppolo. That's all you need to know about the quarterback of the future, the quarterback of the present, the franchise quarterback, the guy they landed in a trade with the New England Patriots last year at the trade deadline for just a second-round draft pick. And then C.J. Beathard, I thought that he looked very good in the offseason program. I think he has a chance to be a long-term backup. He's entering his second season. Let's talk about Garoppolo's offseason, though. What Garoppolo does very well is he gets the ball out of his hands quickly. He throws very accurate passes. And I think he's perfect for Kyle Shanahan's system because Shanahan is able to manipulate the defense and create matchup issues, getting guys like Jerick McKinnon or the slot receiver out in space to take advantage of those matchups. So from that standpoint, I don't know that Kyle Shanahan could have a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo, certainly when you take into account what it took to get him and his age and his upside and where he's going as far as learning Kyle Shanahan's system, being in it now for his first full year. What I saw during the offseason was that, yes, on some of the intermediate and deep balls, he wasn't accurate. But I think that there's certainly no reason for concern with the 49ers. Garoppolo certainly has all of the physical tools and is primed to have a pretty good season coming off his five starts with the 49ers, where, of course, the team went 5-0. So Jimmy Garoppolo and C.J. Beathard set as the 1 and 2 quarterback. And then you probably have Nick Mullins and Jack Hennigan working to try to get onto the practice squad. That's where Mullins was all of last season. And even when the 49ers had a little bit of issues at quarterback, Mullins remained on the practice squad and they never did call him up to the 53-man roster. Now we look at the running back situation. 49ers did like Carlos Hyde, but they just like Jerick McKinnon a heck of a lot better. And the reason is because he can make plays in space. He's the kind of guy who can make people miss. That's why they gave him a 4-year, $30 million contract as one of their top priorities in free agency. I think the running back situation behind him, Matt Breida, averaged 4.4 yards as a rookie, and he factors prominently into the 49ers' plans. A very similar back in a lot of ways to McKinnon. McKinnon will be given his first opportunity to be a three-down back. He's good in blitz pickup, catches the ball well, runs the ball well, has breakaway speed. Breida needs to work on his blitz pickup, but he is a similar back as far as being versatile with the ball in his hands. And I think the front runner for that number three spot is Raheem Mostert, based primarily on his special teams ability. When you get to the third running back, you need a guy who can be a factor on special teams, and Mostert was exceptional on special teams. Now you have other guys competing for that roster spot, for a roster spot, including Joe Williams, who was not impressive as a rookie during camp. He didn't show a real sense of urgency, didn't take care of the football. He's got a lot of ground to make up. Jeremy McNichols, a late addition after training camp, after he was released by the Tampa Bay Bucks. And then there's Jeff Wilson, an undrafted rookie from North Texas, had a good career there. He will get plenty of opportunities, I am sure, during the exhibition season. Fullback is pretty self-explanatory. Kyle Juszczyk, coming off a season, 33 receptions, should factor prominently in this offense. And the 49ers only kept the one fullback last year, Malcolm Johnson, who played 19 games with Cleveland in 2015 and 2016. He is also there trying to find a way onto the 53-man roster, probably faces a very uphill battle, but maybe if he really stands out on special teams, he can work his way into the picture. The wide receiver position is very crowded. They usually keep six wide receivers. You figure four are absolute locks in Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, and Dante Pettis. So a lot of conversation this offseason about the 49ers and Dez Bryant. 49ers have not shown any interest in signing Dez Bryant. So that's not going to happen. I would say the only way it could happen would be if the 49ers had probably multiple injuries at their wide receiver position and they need some. So after those four I just mentioned, you got Kendrick Bourne, Aldrick Robinson, Aaron Burbridge, who's a good special teams guy, spent last year on injured reserve, seventh round draft pick, Richie James, Victor Bolden, was on the team last year and returned 19 kickoffs, but he's going to be serving a four-game suspension after saying that he unknowingly used a supplement with an ingredient that was on the banned substance list. So he's going to face a very uphill battle to find his way onto the 49ers 53-man roster. A decision doesn't have to be made with him until the 49ers have played their fourth game of the regular season. Max McCaffrey trying to find his way onto the team after being on the roster at the end of last season. And the 49ers added an undrafted rookie, Stephen Dunbar from Houston. The tight end situation is going to be tight ends by committee in a lot of ways. George Kittle and Garrett Celek are pretty clearly the top guys. Kittle was third on the team last year as a rookie with 43 catches for 515 yards. And Celek led the 49ers with four touchdown receptions. Cole Hikutini, an undrafted rookie a year ago from Louisville, has the upper hand for that third spot. He'll be battling that out against Cole Wick and Ross Dwelly. Dwelly, an undrafted rookie from San Diego. The offensive line is pretty much set except for the right guard position as far as the starters go. Joe Staley will be at left tackle. Certainly looks like Laken Tomlinson will be at left guard as the 49ers did not pick up next year's fifth-year option on him at $9.6 million. But what they did instead was sign him to a three-year, $18 million extension with $5 million of that coming in a signing bonus. So pretty clear indication the 49ers consider Laken Tomlinson the starting left guard. The 49ers made a big splash in free agency, or at least they gave their biggest contract in free agency to Weston Richburg, the center from the New York Giants. 5 years, $47 million. And then shortly after signing him, they traded Daniel Kilgore to the Miami Dolphins. So Richburg entrenched as the center. And at right tackle, Mike McGlinchey takes over for Trent Brown. McGlinchey was the number 9 overall pick. And then after selecting him in the draft, the 49ers moved Trent Brown to the New England Patriots. So that leaves right guard. And right guard is Joshua Garnett, coming off a quote-unquote redshirt year, a medical redshirt year, as he went on injured reserve to start the season. The 49ers pretty much challenged him to reshape his body to fit the athleticism and the movement, the agility that they need from their guard position. So Joshua Garnett, will see what he has to offer once the pads go on, but he definitely looks a lot better than he did a year ago at this time. The 49ers signed Jonathan Cooper, a former first-round pick, to a one-year contract. He's getting $4 million guaranteed. Cooper, the 49ers believe, resuscitated his career last year, playing pretty well with the Dallas Cowboys before his season ended late in the year with a knee injury. Cooper did not take part in the offseason program, but when training camp opens, he will be competing against Joshua Garnett and Mike Person. Mike Person has been around the league a little bit. He was drafted by the 49ers. He has versatility, which will help him because if he's not a starter at right guard, he can be one of those guys in consideration to be up on game days as a backup center and guard on either side. So that's where this competition gets interesting. If Garnett is not the starter, I don't see him being up on game days because he doesn't have that position versatility. And the same with Jonathan Cooper. Mike Person and Eric Magnuson are guys who can play all of those inside spots. Magnuson made the team last year as an undrafted rookie from Michigan. Very good chance that he will make it again because of that versatility. And then the tackle positions, Gary Gilliam is a swing tackle. The 49ers re-signed him to a two-year contract. He can play the left side or the right side. And then Darrell Williams, who made an impression last year, still very raw though, but made an impression as an undrafted rookie from Western Kentucky. He will be trying to prove to the 49ers that he's capable of playing both of those tackle spots as well. When we come back, we will look at the defense.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, we just looked at the offense, the position battles, and some of the names that will be competing for jobs with the 49ers. Now let's look at the defense. And the defensive line, I would think the starting unit is pretty well set with Solomon Thomas at the Leo, nose tackle Earl Mitchell, defensive tackle DeForest Buckner, and the big end Eric Armstead. But I think where it really gets interesting is what the 49ers do in their sub packages when they're trying to get their four best pass rushers out there on the field. There's not a whole lot of history as far as the 49ers having guys who have been good pass rushers in this league. Elvis Dumervil led the team in sacks last year, but the 49ers did not pick up the option for him, and he remains a free agent. In fact, I'm sure you'd be surprised to learn that the guy who's had the most success as a pass rusher in the NFL, who's currently on the 49ers roster, is Jeremiah Atalchu. He was a second-round pick in the 2014 draft of the then San Diego Chargers, and he just kind of fell out of favor with the Chargers, losing pretty much all of his playing time to Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. He was inactive for 12 games last season, didn't have any sacks, but he did have six sacks in 2015 before seeing his playing time dwindle. He signed just a one-year deal, and he'll be going up against Cassius Marsh, who signed a two-year deal in the offseason, but he only has six sacks in 4 years, but he did make an impression with the 49ers with two sacks in six games last season. Ronald Blair has a chance to help the 49ers out on passing downs, but that, I think, this is the issue with the 49ers. They don't have a proven pass rush, and that is the 49ers' biggest concern as they enter this season. They will certainly be looking for more from DeForest Buckner. Six sacks as a rookie, three sacks last year. He was a step away for most of the season. Got good pressure on the quarterback, but could not finish the job. He's got to be able to find that extra step, and that's what he said that he was working on in the offseason. Find that extra step to get to the quarterback. This is a make-or-break year for big end Eric Armstead. A year ago, he was going to be the Leo. They ended up moving him to the other end position. Eric Armstead has to stay healthy, and he has to make a contribution, a big-time contribution, because right now he's on the books for $9 million next season as the 49ers picked up his fifth-year option. But that is not guaranteed. It only becomes guaranteed at the start of the new league year. So he has to play well in September, October, November, December and maybe January to get that contract guaranteed, which that decision would be made in March. The 49ers added a couple guys on the defensive line in the draft. Fourth round draft pick, Kentavious Street from North Carolina State. Probably a redshirt year from him as he returns from an injury. And then a seventh rounder from Temple, Julian Taylor. So those guys will have a chance to win a roster spot as they compete against guys like Sheldon Day and DJ Jones, among others. The big news of last week was Reuben Foster hit with a 2-game suspension by the NFL for violations of the league's substance abuse policy and the personal conduct policy. So I think the 49ers feel pretty good about a 2-game suspension. It conceivably could have been a lot worse, and the 49ers covered their bases in the offseason, re-signing Brock Coyle, signing Corey Toomer, a veteran, to a contract, and also drafting Fred Warner in the third round. So Fred Warner is very much in the mix to be a starter at inside linebacker alongside Malcolm Smith for those first two games, but he will have some company against competing against the guys I mentioned, Toomer, Coyle, a couple guys who were on the team last year, Elijah Lee and Mark Nazacha. The outside linebacker spots, 49ers are looking for some pass rush there. Eli Harold is the starter at the Sam linebacker spot. He has 5 sacks in his career. The 49ers believe that he has some very good pass rush moves. They're looking to develop that. So these outside linebackers will also have an opportunity to work their way into the mix in the nickel defense. One guy to keep an eye on is Pita Taumalapinu, who didn't see much action last year as a rookie, but has been developing, trying to develop that pass rush skills at the next level. And he was a dominant pass rusher, a very electric pass rusher as a college player at Utah. Now he has to transition that and see if he can develop a consistent pass rush in the NFL. Dakota Watson, a veteran, was on the team last year, 4 sacks in 8 NFL seasons, so he's not going to be a help for the pass rush, but he's a versatile guy who also brings special teams value. Now let's take a look at the defensive backfield. And some guys are playing both positions, or at least have the capabilities of playing both positions, cornerback and safety. Number one on that list is Jimmy Ward. Ward played cornerback throughout the entire offseason program. 49ers believe that he's a starting caliber cornerback. They believe he's a starting caliber safety. But right now, when you look at this, he's probably the sixth man. Right now, I don't know that he's a starter at cornerback or safety as long as Richard Sherman is back from the Achilles injury that ended his season. Richard Sherman looks to be coming along just fine. He should be ready to go at the beginning of training camp. So right now, you look at Richard Sherman, Akello Witherspoon as the starters, and the 49ers have a little bit of depth, a lot of young depth with Greg Maben. Tarvarius Moore was a safety at Southern Miss. He's a third-round draft pick. 49ers want to take a long look at him at cornerback because he has the size that they look for from their cornerbacks in this system. He's 6'2". 49ers inside at nickelback have Kaywan Williams, a veteran. Jeff Hafley, the 49ers secondary coach, very high on Kaywan Williams. 49ers extended him early last season. The 49ers selected DJ Reed in the 5th round from Kansas State. He doesn't have the size as far as the height that the 49ers seek from their cornerbacks, but he has long arms. He's physical. He's tough-minded. He can play outside. He can also play inside as well as be a core guy on special teams, including in the return game. A couple other guys to keep an eye on, Tyvis Powell, who's been around a little bit, including some training camps with the Seattle Seahawks, and Tarvarius McFadden, undrafted out of Florida State. Again, good size. 49ers will give him an opportunity, a long look in the exhibition season to see if he can win a roster spot, and if not, be brought back to the practice squad. The 49ers are set at the safety positions with Jaquaski Tartt having given him a 2-year extension and Adrian Colbert, second-year guy. 49ers like those two guys. Of course, Eric Reed is still out there as a free agent. The 49ers have not made any offers to him. Now, when you look at the safeties, they like Tartt, they like Colbert. The question is always, well, why don't they re-sign Reed because he remains out there? Well, 49ers would not be paying him starter money. They would not be giving him more than a 1-year contract. And so even though Eric Reed doesn't have any offers. He's just not willing to sign a one-year contract for, you know, a minimum type of salary, which is the kind of deal that the 49ers would consider signing him to. Behind Tart and Colbert, Chancellor James is there. He played pretty well last year in the offseason program and early part of training camp before sustaining an ACL injury. He was an undrafted rookie from Boise State. 49ers spent a sixth-round pick on Marcel Harris from Florida. He's a big hitter. And then a couple guys who have been around a little bit, Don Jones returns and Antone Exum added late in the offseason. Those guys will be competing for backup duties. And then the specialists are also set. Kyle Nelson is the long snapper, Robbie Gold the kicker, Bradley Pinion the punter, and they do have another punter in camp, Jeff Locke, who is a left-footed punter. So that's going to help guys like Dante Pettis and DJ Reed and some of the guys who are back there. Trent Taylor, who returned punts, always good to field punts off of the foot of a lefty to get ready for the regular season when the 49ers will be facing a couple of those left-footed punters. So as you heard, pretty much all of the 49ers starting jobs are set, with the exception being right guard, with Joshua Garnett, Jonathan Cooper, and Mike Person battling for jobs. So where the real competitions are going to be will be a little bit further down the roster. Wide receiver, with a lot of guys there competing for action. And also on the defensive line, where the 49ers will be doing a lot of mixing and matching to try to figure out who the best four guys to put out there will be on those nickel situations to generate a pass rush. You've been listening to the 49ers Insider Podcast. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. And please give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We'll be back next week with another great edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast. Thank you for listening.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com.